Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the snow. Tell your body a tent. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting on them like a 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got me corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Font Hill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Font Hill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now. Visit www.rightstyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Oh. Is there like lines we don't cross or
no.
Like topics we don't touch?
No,
not really.
Just don't call anyone a pedo or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
unless they are. Unless
like
they
only
are.
Fools and horses?
Yeah. I'm going to open up for you. Right?
Camera's not on.
Keep her off like 225. Episode 225 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and proudly supported by Right Style Furniture. It's me, COB.
It's me, Tardy Flower.
And today we're joined by...
William... Oh, fuck!
Thompson.
Sorry. Take two.
Take three, technically. Right, are we ready?
Yep.
Why didn't we just leave that, though?
Yeah. It's William Thompson.
No, just give us your...
Go again, go on.
Just
go on.
Give us your name.
Willie T.
Right, are you sure? You happy?
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, and...
Willie D? The fuck did you're a rapper?
I'm Mr. T's nephew.
Willie T and Mickey Biznich.
Mickey Bizzle.
Mickey Bartlett.
We're so bored compared to them.
Yeah, I know. I wish I was used to.
Really?
I don't know which one I wish I was. But
him.
Like...
Him.
If he's
I'm your future.
You're my dad.
Apparently, he's old enough to be.
Is he?
I'm 10 years old. Oh, yeah, old enough.
You could, depends, do you get me?
Do you know what, lads? So, you record your podcast in Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah. I have an awful problem with that because it's Hollywood. But, anyways.
I agree. Macara.
Yeah. Sorry,
I
Willie.
Don't know what he said.
Sorry, Willie.
Yeah. But the lads sit in. The lads who are behind the decks with you sit in. So when someone says something funny, you can hear them laugh in real time.
But they're like, in the room with you. Like.
Yeah. So I think that's bad because someone might say something that might not go down well, but if somebody else laughs, it justifies it.
Well, see, the thing is as well, sometimes we'll say something and they won't laugh, but you'll see their faces go...
Yeah.
And you start panicking.
I half panic, half go... I want to really upset him because the more annoyed he is, the more work he has to do.
Yeah.
Because he's like, we have to cut this out.
Like Dan, who produces Lazy Boys, hates Gladiator 2.
Really?
He hates it.
I wouldn't hold that against him.
It's a shite movie, but I won't tell him to his face. So I'll bring it up every podcast, like, best movie ever made. And you can just see him, like, forgetting the type and shit. He hate that fat fucker.
So we've recorded two podcasts up there. So we did Shane's podcast a few weeks ago, but a few weeks before that, we recorded a special with a fella. For our podcast, this fella used to be in the IRA. So we met Dan, and then we came back up and met Dan again, and Terrence reintroduced himself. He was like, how's it going? Nice to meet you. And Dan was like, I met you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it was mad awkward.
With a balaclava on. Sorry, mate.
Beat me to it.
Snooze you lose, brother.
You said you had a zinger for the boys, and I'm doing that for you to ask them.
Tell them where the zinger is, because we have a few.
Oh,
I'll warm them up. I have a few around now. Huh?
So zingers are shilby, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do I kill at the start or not anymore? It's like an either or a would you rather. That's all it is. We just call them a zinger.
So we used to do this for about 180 episodes. Like stupid things. Would you rather Coke or Pepsi? You know, shit like that.
Aye.
And I mean, we got to like 180 and we were scraping the bottom of the barrel. It was like,
would you rather be cold or hot?
You know, shit like that. But people loved it. So we like to do it with comedians because we think it's a good icebreaker for comedians and we know you're going to run away with it. So I have one here and it says...
No pressure, boys. Yeah. We know you're going to run away with it. What's with them stuck at once?
Yeah. Would you rather have...
The way we ran away with the North?
Would you rather have wings or gills?
Oh, wings?
Gills would be handy though.
Gills are a hindrance.
Nah, but gills, if you're in a bath and you're like, I don't want to get out yet...
You're out of everything you could do. That's all you could
do. But wings, are you, how, right? Wings are grand. Can you fly with the wings, or are they just you just have wings?
Mm.
And they're working guilds.
Now let's work this out together. Make an executive decision. Can you fly with them, boys? I'm going
to
say yeah.
You have to learn how to fly. It's not just like you get wings and next while you jump off the balcony.
Shoes, like shoeless.
Well, you need to learn how to ride a bike, don't you? So
yeah.
Here's what I'll say though: having wings doesn't mean like flying isn't fucking knackering, right? So if you fly and you're like, I'm fucking flying all day, gills just breathing. So all of a sudden you can just be in the pool, like underneath. So I'm going to go gills.
What can you be like underwater?
Welcome to the Talking Bollocks podcast. Do you mean? I'm going to go gills. As long as they're like somewhere, they're not visible. Like I'll go Waterworld gills behind the ear.
Them on like the back of the calves.
Behind my ear, somewhere like if they're here, I'll take wings.
Because you know, if they're on your neck, everyone's got like every time someone has a pint, they're going to be like, oh, look at his gills. And it's like, yeah, in the gills.
But then I'd be all, watch this. And I just pour beer in my face and go, still breathing, bro.
I'd have to have them
I'm
on
just
the
drunk
neck,
faster.
That's all.
On the neck.
It's a way to take in more beer.
We would have them on your neck.
Gills?
Yeah.
No, I want your sides now.
What?
Stand if you have gills on your sides, yeah.
That's what, Harry Potter shit, like gilly wings.
Yeah.
What gills are going on? And the wings are going on your back.
Yeah.
Where would the wings go?
I forget. Yeah, exactly.
The wings, it's going to be a nightmare to buy jackets. Hoodies won't fit you.
Yeah.
Yeah, trail.
You know what I mean?
You never trail. They were the easy jet again.
You, no, but you're going to be fucking knackered flying the
people are like, well, it's 80 quid. And they're like, no, it's not.
Yeah, but you're also going to get like across, like halfway across fucking Belfast and go... I'm knackered flying. It doesn't mean you're like, it's not like being able to fly like Superman, but you can go to space. Having wings just means you can flap about.
You're going to be sitting on wires and all with the pigeons.
Yeah, you'd have to migrate and all.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you do get to shit on cars, which would be.
I do that now.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, on I know what you mean, but like just the ability to just get up and fly. How, at a party, right? See, if you're at a party trying to impress people, what's going to impress them more? Whipping out your gills or being like, who wants to take a flight?
Right. Okay. Nah, okay, but if the party's at Halloween, you're bobbing for apples and you're fucking smashing it.
Yeah, he has a point.
Like, boom,
he has a point.
Full bag of apples. Like, there's fucking pink ladies all over the floor.
Yeah.
And then you bob for apples.
I don't think there's a situation on this planet that you can't apply to having gills for.
You'd be
like, what about at your 21st and you have gills at your 24th and you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Or taking gills are broken into the gills.
Gills are better than wings.
But the,
unfortunately, but I wish wings were better. I would love to have wings. But gills are better.
But how cool would you look at Halloween where they light up the fireworks and you can go and catch the fireworks before
right.
they explode?
But again, you're thinking that wings means you have super speed. You're going to catch a fucking firework. You have cerebral palsy, you can't even run. And you think your wings are going to...
Not the wings.
You're going to have one bad wing that's going to... And I'm fat as fuck. So the wings are going to be like, oh, Mickey's just got feathers.
I think you need gills now.
Yeah, I need gills, right? I have gills right now.
You need them like a fucking...
Yeah.
It's like an hour long would be gills for you.
Did he just say you have cerebral palsy, you can't even run?
Man, this is our friendship.
Yeah. Welcome to the North.
By the way, we're here to take it back.
I don't even know if I'm on a deal zingers anymore.
Oh, what's the second one? Let's go.
Is there a better zinger than you've served?
I agree with Mickey. He gave us a better case for gills.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm taking
the room 50-50.
I'm just going to go straight for the kills.
The difference is I'm the oldest one here. So basically I've been broken by approaching 40. So when I was your age, when I was young, wings would be class. But I know how...
You've had your wings clipped.
No, but I know how quickly they get clipped.
Whereas now you're
just by age and biology. Mm. So like gills, you'll breathe forever underwater. Mm. Wings, you're going to go, I couldn't be arse flying.
Mm. I don't know. Then again, the world will be underwater one day, like, so...
Do you know who I blame for this?
Who?
Shane.
Shane?
Yeah, because when we done his podcast, he was like, you need to have the lads on. We're like, yeah. He was like, no, together. Together.
Shane did tell us off on the way down because we had a few beers in the train and he was like, all you had to do is get one train.
Yeah.
All you had to do.
One train together.
It was like playing GTA. All you had to do was follow the damn train, TJ. Yeah.
It's like you killed a hooker.
So I have another one, right? You ready, Terry? Terry knows who this one is and he thinks...
No, I don't. I swear to God.
You think so? I'm gonna get cancelled if I ask.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah,
yeah. We
might get cancelled.
If it's black people or white people, I'm not.
I think it might be tame. Yeah. Would you rather be the first fella in the queue to fight the gorilla, or the last fella in the queue for Bonnie Blue?
Last fella in the queue for Bonnie Blue.
You'll
make it. No, but at least you'll make it out alive. Like realistically, no.
I'm really thinking.
But
you go away.
But this also brings up a weird thing because during the 100 men versus one gorilla. We had a debate where he thinks 100 men will win. I'm like, the gorilla will kill everybody.
Don't start this.
But I boiled it down, in the North, I boiled it down, the difference was the people who thought that the men would win were all Protestants, and the Catholics all thought that the guerrilla would win because...
That's his...
Because you guys can mobilize and we can't get fucking anything right.
Cerebral palsy, I'm mobilized to my best of my ability.
You're mobilized, mobilized scooter.
Too, yeah.
Bonnie Blue, 100% Bonnie Blue.
Yeah.
You're going to die fighting that gorilla.
Like, you first only man, might die being last.
You only game. Might die. Yeah. You only might die with Bonnie Blue.
Yeah.
Change
smell
the
would be the same.
Change the animal because he has a point.
I understand.
Give me an animal that can do damage to you.
Every animal can do damage to you.
No.
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 That's
no.
Not
what?
Yeah.
What's a goldfish doing to you?
Man, if you
break your heart, break your heart.
What are you doing to that goldfish?
No, the goldfish will break your heart.
Goldfish clogs your toilet, then you have to pay a plumber, and then you've fucking no money for Christmas presents.
Yeah.
I don't know, lads. Look, that was my thing. I'm just trying to.
What would you say? What would you say about that?
Like, I'm fighting that gorilla.
You going first, gorilla?
100%. Me and the gorilla are going to go 10 toes down. Let's go. Yeah.
I wish
me
I
me and Bonnie Blue's going to go 10 toes up.
But if a cone says lying, do you get me?
Yeah, I couldn't take it. I was happy this place had a lift. I couldn't take a gorilla.
Well, maybe I can. Maybe I can't, but look.
You definitely can. You
there's 1,016 fellas.
But also, you don't have the rider. So you can get to, you can be the last one in the queue and go, oh, no, you're grand, you know.
No, you have to.
Right? But the gorilla's going to fight you. Like,
you have to, lads.
You just said the queue. You didn't have to fucking ride.
But that's no, the same with the gorilla. You can walk on fours and then go fuck that and take off.
But also being the last fella in the queue for Bonnie Blue, that selfie would be like right before 9/11. Do you know what I mean? It's worth having.
He wasn't messing when he said they're going to try and get us cancelled.
He did.
That was him. That was his fault.
I'm just saying, like, you know.
But also, imagine the last guy. Like, if you're a
and you're
thousand,
taking a photo with the Sarlacc from Star Wars.
By 1,000, she might just appreciate a hug.
Also,
just you coming and being like,
just ask her if you're all right. Like,
just bring her a sandwich and a cup of tea.
I don't have to sleep with her. I can
some
just...
electrolytes. Yeah, I'm bollocks.
I stick on Shrek. I'm like, you're knackered.
You go. Or you walk in and you go, Bon, I'm really sorry. We didn't record half of that.
Yeah.
That camera only has 25 minutes. You have to reset it. We didn't do it.
It's like a fucking Zoom call. You didn't pay for the premium. You have to hang up and ring him back.
You just walk in with the background at all.
Yeah. Imagine the 1,000 guy leaves and someone comes in and goes, great rehearsal. Okay, real thing.
I have a zing off ways as well before we move on. Previous one we've asked. Would you rather go to prison with a Rubik's Cube and you can get out when you solve it, or just go to prison for a year straight?
I'll go to prison for a year straight.
You don't think you'd solve a Rubik's Cube in a year?
No.
I reckon I can do a Rubik's Cube.
I can't work a Rubik's Cube. I'm cerebral palsy. I can't work a Rubik's Cube.
He said this 3 times now. I don't think you're allowed to keep using that now.
Yeah. I do that with ADHD.
He has ADHD. I'm like, we're over that. I got over ADHD. Yeah.
The first one was him.
Yeah. So you have one more. You have one more. Use it wisely.
I couldn't. No, I get really annoyed and we just break the thing. I couldn't do it.
I reckon I could do a Rubik's Cube.
Could you fuck?
Yeah. In a year?
No.
Yeah.
No.
In a year, bro. A year.
Without I'd stay focused, dude. Without, like, anyone helping
you. No, this is my thing.
But you have 24 hours a day, bro.
Yeah, but you've no,
you're
like...
not, like, going... You can't go to shop. Yeah.
So you think I'm alone in a room for 24 hours a day and all of that's going to go on the Rubik's Cube?
What? Oh.
In jail? Right, so you have 23 hours and 45 minutes.
55.
Oh, you're
this
going
is like me saying, Terrence, if I said to you, you've... a year to why are you a gaff and you're not a qualified electrician, go for it. You'll learn how to do it. You won't. You've no guide, as you said. You've no idea.
But that's a lot more difficult because you have to go through the gaff and whatever. You get this. Give me an object and say you have a year with one object. Not like cut through the gaff, go up into the
Rubik's Cube. But there's a method into solving the Rubik's Cube, yeah?
No, of course. Yeah. But you need like
you'd
tools.
Fluke it. You would get, you, by accident, you would get nearly there and then go, oh, okay.
But I've seen people get one side, lads. You get one side and you're not fighting yourself full.
I've also seen guys doing that with one hand on stage while they're telling jokes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So there's a method to it. I'm like 100%.
But that's there's a method to it, but you don't know that method.
Yeah, someone's telling you on the way in. If the judge tells you when they're sentencing you, that's what you need. This is how you do a Rubik's Cube and you don't...
Do I get like 2 weeks before I go in to be like, learn a Rubik's
Cube? No, you're getting fucked in a cell and a Rubik's Cube getting fucked out.
And do they let you out once you solve it?
Yeah.
So imagine you got it in a week.
I'd be out of jail in 5 weeks.
And you're doing it a year.
I'd take the year. I would be more confident in the year.
Morgan, in the Rubik's Cube, Morgan like Freeman not reading it. I remember when I saw Willie try to solve the Rubik's Cube. The sisters gave him a hard time. They had a box of their own. Or something like that. I don't know. Shut up, you. That's enough.
Get that reference?
I do get it. What's it called again?
March of the Penguins.
Yeah. I only watched it there about 2 months ago. What a film, boys.
Never seen Shawshank?
I've never seen it.
What?
No, I never seen it.
I've read the book.
Never seen the movie.
I'm cultured. Shut the fuck up. There's a book? I didn't know there was a book.
It's Stephen King.
Is it Stephen King?
Nah, I think they're Green Mile. I haven't read the book.
It is Stephen King.
I haven't read the book. I was trying to seem smart.
I knew you were trying to pretend. Oh, yes, I've read all the books. I read it as well.
Yeah.
I've read Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Fuck off. They're shit. I know. I tried to read them. Yeah.
Is Shawshank a book?
Yeah, Terrence never seen it. He'd never seen it. And people used to send in emails and all.
People used to walk down the street.
Were you blown? Was your mind blown by the end of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what's class about that movie? I've seen it probably 20 times. And every time I get to the end, I go, fuck, I didn't see that coming. like, it's so good you forget the ending of it.
I remember seeing it as a kid when I was about 8 or 9. And my dad would watch it and I'd fall asleep. And then it's only when I was about 15 I actually watched the whole thing through and I was like, fucking hell, this is what happens.
It's a belter. Like,
it's like Full Metal Jacket. You know the film Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
I fell asleep so many times before they even left the drill camp. I never even knew they went to war. I fell asleep that many times.
You know what's weird about that movie? I sometimes put that on to go to sleep because the opening sort of 15, 20 minutes does kind of lull you into like, oh.
And it's very intense and all. Your man kills himself and all. I'm like, fucking hell. And you go to bed.
What?
spoiler alert. And the whole film, but like that whole hour could be a film. Like, if that just, the credits come up after that, you'd be like, yeah, that was a good film.
Yeah.
And then they fucking go to war. That should be part two.
It's great.
Stanley Kubrick.
Have you ever seen The Prestige?
No.
Christopher Nolan?
Yeah.
Troy, that was a bit much.
Man, if you stick with that movie, it's the ultimate fuck, I didn't see that coming. Because the problem is you do see it coming, but then they double bluff you. So you figure the end out halfway through, then they go, I was only messing.
And then
at the end you go, fuck, I knew that, you bastard. It's great.
What film has the best twist in it ever?
Uncut Gems.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, the bit at the end.
Have you ever seen? Terrence's only seen about 10 films ever.
Right.
Have you ever 20. Seen a film that blew your mind, Terrence? Like, fuck, I didn't see that coming.
Uncut Gems will rock your shit.
What's it about?
It's about a gambling.
Does it
addict.
Start quick?
Starts quick. It's if anxiety was a film. So the filmmakers use these techniques.
That's why I haven't watched it. I already have that.
I've already
I'm
seen
like,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put it on before I went to bed. I was up at 3 a.m. ringing people I hadn't spoke to since school. Remember, I took your pen, didn't give it back. I'm sorry. So the filmmakers use these techniques where, do you know in a film, if two people are in a restaurant and they're having a conversation, you can't hear the background of the restaurant. They turn the mics of the extras up. So it's hearing two people have a conversation.
That's
why
I hate
talking.
That fucking movie. I started watching that and couldn't focus on it.
They use like little soundtracks to give you anxiety.
Now, why
if
would
you have ADHD, we shouldn't do it.
Yeah. It sounds like already like it's going to work for me.
Well, he
but why? How is that enjoyable if you're hearing two conversations at once?
I think it probably adds the element.
It makes you have to focus more, is it?
Yes,
you have to almost like zone in on 1%. And the story's so good. So it's this guy's a gambling addict. He owns a jewelry store. He keeps taking people are like, oh, can you hold my diamond necklace for 2 weeks? He'll pawn it off, lose the money, then has to cover it, and it's that for 2 hours.
But it's Adam Sandler, who's like, hey, what do you
do? Yeah.
That's your necklace! Take the necklace!
Back to jewels. Yeah. Back to jewels.
I'm afraid I lost your diamond earrings.
And he panics, but he has a wee remote. He can go back in time. It's fine.
The worst thing about it is it's Adam Sandler's fourth serious film. Every other film he's just playing that character.
I see him in a serious film. But it's Kevin Hart did one recently, didn't he? And everyone was saying it was shy.
Yeah, he's done.
Is that the one he was in with Bryan Cranston?
He's on a plane.
That's a great film.
Yeah. It's fucking great. Have you seen the original, the French version?
No, I've never seen that
it's
one.
Way better.
Is it better?
I don't think it's as good.
What's it called again? It's like The Upside or something like that.
Yeah, but the French version is called like Le Upside.
Petit
Falou, very good film.
I thought it was great. I thought it was genuinely really good.
The one with Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston's class.
Yeah.
It's based on a true story.
Yeah, I
didn't get the gig with Kevin Hart, so I think it was shite.
Yeah.
I didn't get paid from Kevin Hart, so I thought the French version was better.
He's short of a few quid either.
I know, he's short.
But yeah, he's not short. Quid.
He's smaller than me, if you can imagine.
When he first turned up with that gig, I was like, shit, he's not making that up at all. Like, he's 20. But he's fucking jacked, though.
Yeah, like, genuine.
Yeah, but like, some of Jack Russell's, you know what I mean? You don't take them serious. You know what I mean? Like, Jack Russell's are like, oh, he's stocky, but like,
Jack Russell fuck you up, you leave it alone. Like, you know what I mean?
A good jacker from the flats, Calvin.
Yeah, I'd rather get like, a room with a Rubik's Cube than a Jack Russell. Put it that way.
Oh, no, 100%. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, obviously. I'm not trying to solve the Jack Russell. You know what I mean? I'm not picking her up, twisting it and all. Obviously.
Would solve it, though.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, solve a few things.
No, but I was thinking, Adam Sandler in a serious film. I don't know if I could take that serious, could I?
Weirdly, he is a. This is my thing with Adam Sandler is everyone gives him shit for his, he has a lot of terrible films, but Netflix basically went, here's $1 billion, make whatever you want. He made shite with his friends.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this film's based in Hawaii. The next one's based in Dubai. Who's in it? All my best mates.
Yeah.
You would do that. He has the ability to be amazing in films.
The new Happy Gilmore as well. It's going to be on Netflix, isn't it?
I'm
like next week,
about
I think.
That. Why?
Do you want to hear something?
It might be shite.
Netflix don't make good films.
No.
Nah.
Netflix, if it's a Netflix film, I mean.
I disagree.
Name one Netflix film that's good.
I'm sure I'm naming films, but I see when I go to Netflix, I go to like Netflix Originals and I watch them.
They've done a couple of cracking series. Have you ever seen Mindhunter?
Yeah, class.
Like, that's fucking unreal.
Yeah. They do good series, don't they? Good films.
Squid Games is a good series.
Yeah.
Squid Games. Yeah.
Did you finish the new one?
No, I didn't watch it.
I wasn't into it. Did you finish it?
Yeah.
I thought they dragged the arse out of it. I was like, fucking.
They did. It was one of those like, oh, we'll give you two seasons. This could have been one.
Yeah.
But I love it. And it ends on like Squid Games USA.
Yeah.
It's going to go global.
But I think that's worse. Did you watch the Mr. Beast games?
No.
Mr. Beast done like a Squid Games with a load of Americans and the winner got like 5 million. But there was like 1,000 people to start off. And it was like, he'd come up to random people and be like, I'll give you 10 grand. But you have to eliminate Willie. And they were like, no, I can't do that, man. Like, oh. He's my best fucker. Yeah. But like, eliminate him is just like, literally.
Eliminate just means I go to the canteen.
It's literally that. It's like, you go through to the next round with 10,000 cash, no questions asked. He goes home and's like, can't do that, man. He's my best friend. Yeah. We're here since the start. And like, well, one day into the show, you met him 12 hours ago.
I watched 10 minutes once I found out they're not shooting them in the head. I was like, not bothered.
There's people turning down.
It would have been way better.
I watched that fucking The Poop Cruise documentary. Have you seen that? Where like they're on it was a cruise that like all the power failed and then the toilets overflowed. So the whole fucking documentary is like a bunch of Americans on a cruise and they're talking as if they've been through Vietnam.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought I let my daughter down. We went on the cruise and then there was poop on the floor. And they were just like on a free piss up for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like,
sounds like a normal holiday to us.
Yeah.
It's
better than go.
Piss the balls. You've never been to Magaluf.
Yeah.
Never been to fucking Buncrana, your man.
Well, we never actually got around to the biggest twist. What's the biggest plot twist you ever seen, Terry?
I don't know. Mind. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
The Prestige is a screamer. Like,
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale.
I've seen that recently, I think.
Tell me
what it's about.
Oh, fuck, Memento. Memento's the biggest. Have you seen that? It's another Christopher Nolan.
The Magicians in The Prestige.
No, I don't think I
do. Very serious, though.
It's serious, but it's like, it's worth a watch. Memento has to be the biggest twist.
Never seen
it. I don't know.
Oh, do we know the biggest twist ever?
Go on.
It's the one that I was in. The island.
Shutter Island?
Sure.
Yeah.
You were in Shutter Island?
No.
Were you one of DiCaprio's kids?
I never even seen this. But you explained it to me. So, Calvin, you're going to have to explain this.
Yeah, this is complicated. So, Terrence had an issue, a health issue there last year or the year before.
This was about 2 years.
Many issues. He had many health issues.
Yeah.
Right. But he was in a ward in the hospital. Sorry, lads. You just got mad serious. Like, your two energy, you've been bouncing off the wall since you came in here. And once I mentioned he was in hospital, he was set up on my own quay.
Yeah. We're both just being like, what happened, bro?
You're like, in hospital
a few times myself.
Because I'm trying to be respectful and be like, oh, I hope he was all right. He's sitting in front of you.
Yeah, I'm
of course he survives.
I'm very drunk. He might not be.
I'm like, can we vape in here?
So, Terrence, he rang me, right? So, he was on this ward, and like, load of magic kept happening. Like, people have been coming up and taking the socks off him. People are coming up taking the smokes.
Taking the runners.
People were like, people were coming in and then like leaving the ward, and like, nurses were chasing them and everything, right?
They were
chasing those runners, did they bring them back?
I'm not
joking. I hope you're right.
But like mad shit was happening.
But yeah, the fella beside me, like, kept waking me up in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. just like, screaming at me, saying like, "Where am I?" I said, "You're in fucking hospital, bro. Relax, like, do you get me?
You're in my fucking bed. Get then out."
He'd just take me clothes and he'd leave, like, do you get me?
He rang me one day.
This was mad.
He rang me one day. He was lying in the bed, right? On FaceTime. So he's talking to me. And then I could see in the background, he was talking to someone else. He's like, "You all right?" And he turns the camera around and he had a cup of tea on the table. Your man just come over and took it. I walked away and Darren's like, "That's my tea.
This is going on like for days now." Do you get me?
So he was like, "I'm in this ward. I think I'm in the wrong ward. It's full of head cases. It's full of mental patients." And I was like, "Terrence, I think you're supposed to be in that ward." Then it kind of dawned on him. He was like,
"Did he pump me here?" Then I thought I was losing my marbles.
So it's only like it was DiCaprio on Shutter Island where it dawns on him.
He's like,
"I am a patient here." So I was like, "Terrence, this is the whole plot of Shutter Island." So he's never seen the film, but he knows exactly.
I just know he was in it. Do you get me?
Yeah, you'll get halfway through the movie and go, "Someone's going to take his runners."
I think it's all about Robin.
Then you're like, "Is it Titanic?"
At any point during your stay, did you see dead people?
Yeah, John looked.
Yeah, no, yeah, there was a fella there, looked like he was on his way out.
He
wasn't going to be leaving.
I said that was a joke, you two weren't so serious.
No,
yeah,
what was it? Were you like,
because he turned the camera around and your man looked like he was on a one way trip to hospital, you know what I mean? He was checking in, he wasn't going to be checking out, kind of bus.
My hotel car.
I'd be taking shoes at that point.
What was wrong with me? Was that the nerve?
I could have been a list of things. Like, since we started doing this podcast, you want to say,
boys, it's our hand.
He had a sore throat and nearly died.
Boys, I did, I swear to God.
He had a sore throat and he was checked in the hospital for 10 days.
Tonsillitis. I went in and I was like,
kissing girls, tonsillitis. You snogging? Who are you snogging?
Who are you kissing a girl with?
Why am I getting embarrassed like this?
Bright red, like more red, but you put bright red. Who are you snogging?
Terrence and Katrina sitting at the tree. Stealing hairs around it because she's.
Just getting out of hand, but you two definitely shouldn't be left unsupervised. You're just.
I think we should have done them separately.
Does Shane look after you still?
Shane
won't talk to us apart from one day a week.
Speak for it, he'll talk to me.
I wonder why.
Does he like calm you down though?
He's the anchor of.
I wouldn't even.
Yeah, I think he's a wanker as well.
I would even say Shane would like wind you up and walk away and then be like, "What happened?"
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Shane's like the guy at a protest. He'll be like, "Fight the poor," and then riots happen. He's like, "I have to go in for my dinner."
She's like, "That's storm the capital."
Yeah.
Not me though.
Yeah. And he comes back, we're like, "Did you actually go in? I didn't want you to do that." Yeah. But he does. He keeps us.
Shane would be the guy with an Easter egg at the Rising. Easter Rising's a thing we do.
What's that?
You get a hard on first day of April.
In the week that's in it as well, lads. The fucking week that's in it, yeah. Will you looking forward to the weekend? Any plans?
Finally, I'm not talking about a fucking goat. Yeah. It's a fun weekend.
I might go with you.
Do you want to come?
Yeah, I've no hate in the house. I might as well get thrown in a bonfire.
Go ahead, yeah. More than welcome to it. It's great. You love tunes. You want to hear the same three over and over again?
I bought this really shite couch and sent a photo of it to a mate of mine to Protestant. I was like, "Do you reckon you could just burn that for me?" And he went, "Nah."
You'll love the 12th. You'll look slim. You'll love the 12th.
Unbelievable.
I did go once.
Ironically, he's marched off.
Honestly, see, when you joke about that, I get so uneasy. I'm like,
really?
What, about, I don't know why. I feel like I'm not entitled to be included in that banter.
About the 12th, they're slagging each other off.
The 12th.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, man, the war's people over. It was a draw. Like,
it went the extra time. They got the draw.
Fucking right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they'll get annoyed. Who gets
I think
fuck?
More people down here will get offended by it than up the north.
I reckon.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone in the north gets offended about, like, because it's all become banter now, hasn't it? Like, we.
That's great to know.
Like, it really is. We all just slag each other off.
Yeah, that's actually great to know.
It has, but you'll get people that do get annoyed, but they don't matter.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. You can't
there's
you
people,
can't
the comment section about. Gets annoyed, but real people are like, "Oh, good one, lad."
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't live your life going like, "Oh, but what if this annoys one section?" Unless you're saying something truly fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But like, you can't worry about, "Oh, does this annoy someone or someone else?" They will get annoyed, but also fuck them.
Yeah. You know, a lot of middle-aged stars down here, though, you know what I mean? Telling people how to feel and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you have literally never went past the M50.
But that's
you know the do people down here generally get annoyed if you joke about, like, the 12th and shit?
Oh, they're always chiming in about the North and how people should be feeling and this, that. And they're not Irish, but they're Irish. But and they're like, are you for real?
That's the same all over the world. Like, people who've never left the street they've lived on their whole lives.
Yeah.
don't know that the rest of the world's getting on fine.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I mean? True. Like,
I just feel like in Ireland it's mad because it's here. It's here. Yeah. And then like an hour away it's different. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Like 1 hour.
Yeah, like it's like people go like Northern Ireland is still part of Ireland, but it is a completely different place culturally,
yeah,
and geographically and legislatively.
I'm politically.
It's a different country almost.
I put spirit is still the fucking same, brother. You're lucky we can't fight, or it'd be fine.
Is the 12th anything down here at all?
No.
Is that not a
none? All the videos like look at that.
Yeah.
That's
there's one Protestant with a match and a jacket over his head.
It's fucking class. Like, I hear it though, because when people are like, it's bigoted, it's sectarian, it's racist. I'm like, yeah. But I like
for,
it though.
But it's
like,
only for it's a day. Fun. You get it out of you.
Yeah.
Like, it's same as Paddy. We sing some shit we shouldn't be singing.
Yeah. Oh, fuck God.
And yeah. You go, phew.
But you know what the ironic thing about it is? If we ever do get towards like United Ireland, yeah. You have to accommodate both sides.
Oh, yeah, we're
getting stuck in. Like,
yeah, Terrence just walked in when we got the most.
You'll be back in the hospital for this.
We literally got the most political and Terrence walked into the room. Yeah. But like, now, what I mean is like, you have to accommodate both sides if you want it to be United. But like, some people don't realise that, you know what I mean? Some people are like, this is how we want it and they better deal with it.
I think the best option would have been Northern Ireland unites with Scotland. Scotland becomes independent from England.
Yeah.
And then you've got that fucking...
It's the accommodate both sides is what our country our country has tried to do for years. I think the best solution is 10 of our best fighters, 10 of your best fighters.
Oh, these are fucking
everywhere.
No. We give them a box,
a room each tube,
and you open it and it's like Gorilla or Bonnie Blue. Just a little more.
If they did Squid Games, Ireland, like what games would they play?
Pats.
Yeah, Pats.
What's Pats? Do you know Pats?
You call it Kirby.
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 Yeah.
Who like told us that?
Mick Conlon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Mick Conlon said that to us and we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Kerbstone.
Yeah. That's the one, yeah. Making, that's a good game, no?
You'd play that.
What's Squid Game?
You'd play
Raptor
a game.
Raptor Runaway.
Raptor Run. Just Raptor Run. Like.
Raptor Runaway.
Like, Raptor Run. Like
Knick-knack.
That's not really a game, though.
I can't say it anymore.
Guys,
it's not your word, guys. Mm. All right.
They're playing Raptor. They're Raptor Runaway. You Raptor, then you know, he's picked up on what you're saying. You Raptor.
It's a gestures. I was like, yeah, he's up to something.
You knock a door and then fuck off.
But like, well, that's not a game. That's just like, because there's no...
It's just annoying.
It's a game.
Like, there's no point system in that.
I but in the North, there people is. Were armed to the teeth, so it was a fucking really good game. Like,
in fairness, when we did it, like you'd always knock at like the alcoholic who, you know, had serious mental issues. You're like, I bet you won't knock on his dog. There's a good chance if he caught you, yeah. Kick the bollocks out of it.
This book.
Yeah.
I live in a flat too. How you got up there is beyond me. Fucking Spider-Man just called for me.
Come on the fuck.
Remember times you'd be 12 years of age and you'd knock on this fella's door. Like, this fella is 55 and he's kicking the hole out of his 12 year old.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Love. And people just be like, you shouldn't have knocked on his door.
But that is the point.
Yeah. That's still my attitude now.
Yeah, you shouldn't have did that.
Don't knock on his door.
No, yeah.
You knock on mental Chrissy's door.
Yeah,
he's not going to be reasonable bang, in his response.
Yeah.
So what? Only for the 5 minutes of this, you can't.
You know what's hilarious? On the way in here, I'm pretty sure there's a politician getting interviewed for the radio.
Yeah,
it's
definitely a politician out there.
Yeah,
and a red
hoy
and all.
Me and him are like, can you vape in here? My vape broke, so can I have a beer?
Some fella downstairs on the radio now talking about the 12th and how we need to be more inclusive of their culture.
We're like, we've solved it, lads.
Give me the number of the station. Like, would you rather have gills or wings?
Depends on the feeding gills or brother.
What other games are we playing?
Oh, that's a great question.
World Cup.
Headers and volleys.
Yeah.
World Cup, is that what you call knockout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knockout.
See, yeah. That's where I never play football.
And you know what? At the end of every round, instead of one person being out, you just get shot.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I was waiting on him and it's always just lit.
That's a good show, isn't it?
Fucking,
imagine like it's me and bad. You. Imagine getting down to the last person in that round. It's just like one on one where I felt like, oh, the tension.
Because there's a wee fat bastard. I waited for the people who thought they were Ronaldo and hitting 40-yard screamers, it's going to bounce off the wall or off the post. Yeah,
but that's called hatching.
Don't matter.
You never have to?
Yeah, poachers, we call it. Poachers.
Yeah, so hatching.
I was the Anelka of the World of Knockout.
See, like, this is where I'll just fucking look at the... I never played football as a kid.
Yeah.
We can tell.
Shouted football, right? No, that's fat shaming. Don't watch football because I'm shite. Don't watch fighting because I'm shite. And I also don't watch porn.
So what... Say, what the fuck? We're basically twins, bro. Except like I watch all them, just except porn.
This is mad. He's watching on the way up.
Oh, yeah.
Ever seen him on the train, making whiskeys and watching Brazzers? This guy.
One headphone, so keep
parents just going, we're so connected. Oh my God, we're the same man.
And he's
clearly joking.
Do you not watch it?
Would you stop drinking, sissy?
Do you not watch it ever?
Well, no, the odd time, really. It's it.
Right. New Year's, birthdays.
Yeah. Special occasions.
Treats,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Light the candle. Yeah.
Some people order a takeaway. Terrence is like, right, load up mom POV there. Yeah.
Light the candle.
Light the candle. Get the Kleenex.
Well, is it a Gwyneth Paltrow one or is it like...
A Yankee candle.
Do you know the Gwyneth Paltrow one?
No.
Gwyneth Paltrow made a range of candles that smell like her vagina.
Really?
Which, and it's, I got one, did I tell you this? I bought one.
You didn't tell me you got one, though.
Very hard to light.
I did catch a chewing that candle one time, though. So
very hard to light. And also, when you put it out, you have to like make wee circles to get the flame going.
I've tried that. My nanny had one. I tried to light it, it just went not in the mood. So that happens.
Yeah, every 28 days, they all light up together. They keep them too near each other. That's what the 12 is. It's just a little...
Oh, this is getting out of hand.
This is different from the Shane one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
oh, Shane being like, oh, yes, my first sketch character was...
He actually was. That's exactly how he was.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah, I use...
I'll text Kevin Hart and he'll let me open them for him. I'm like, all right, Shane, yes, yeah. Kevin Hart. You say, well, like, Yankee candles smell like vaginas. Fucking
how long do you still know each other?
You started stand up, so.
Yeah, about 11 years now.
Yeah. So I was doing stand-up already.
You've been doing stand-up since you're 17?
Yeah.
Fuck that, young.
Yeah.
By the way.
Still waiting to get good at it, but.
Oh, man, I saw your first gig. You're definitely better now. Like.
Were you at his very first gig?
First gig in Laveries, I was there, yeah.
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 How did you get on? Tell
me. Oh, man, shocking. I mean, we all eat shit the first gig.
But you were already doing comedy at this stage.
Yeah, I was doing a couple
of gigs. And were you excited for him doing his first gig?
No,
nah, he hates
every other comedian.
I don't.
Right, okay. He's one of them.
Did you know him before that?
Like that?
No.
He's the one like in a group of girls. If someone asks, like, "Oh, this boy texts me saying he's cute," he's like, "Fucking, you're ugly."
I'm more like a war veteran who's like, "I'm sick of these kids getting killed. I'm sick of learning these names of these boys I had to bury."
You're not. You're like that.
Like, so your first set, I was like, "Burr, burr, burr."
Eliminated. You're like, "Fuck, pick me."
Tell us, what was his first gig like?
You
great.
I remember you doing a set in Laveries and it was, you basically word for word did a sketch I did online.
Yeah.
And I was like, is he trying to pay a tribute?
Which is exactly what I was doing.
Which is insane.
Like, yeah. Because he'd done a sketch. I was such a big fan of like him and Colin and all those guys that I was like, oh, they'll love it if I like just did that bit back to them. I was 17.
You were 17. And we were just like,
he's still,
this is just fucking weird, man.
Enough whiskey into him and he's like, you did that.
But then, same time, I think the one that we went out and got fucking hammered drunk, I was like, I fucking love that cunt.
Mickey, how long are you doing stand up?
Shit. 17 years. Almost 18 years. I started in 2008.
Probably 17 years.
Yeah, 17 years, yeah.
In the year of Obama, when there was hope.
Yeah, when there was hope.
Yeah.
I saw Obama was like,
yes,
I can too, lad.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking.
Is Fader Lynn. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Did I remember he came over here and he was saying it everywhere?
Oh yeah, I remember holding the pint of Guinness.
Yeah,
come to my street. That's all I know. Didn't come up here.
Didn't have.
Did he?
Was he? He was in the north, wasn't he?
Was he?
Don't think so. No, we went.
He went to that one filling station.
Yeah, the Barack Obama Plaza.
I've got a photo of me high fiving him.
When like,
down there
at the filling station? Yeah. Not him.
He's in a place called Moneygall. I thought that was a wind up when I heard it. I was like, that's not a real Moneygall.
I didn't even know it was in Money. I thought I just went Barack Obama Plaza and went driving looking for it.
I thought it was a place.
My grandfather was from here.
I
love a chicken fillet roll.
Yeah.
Chucky R. Law.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Darren Noon?
Yeah.
I'm delicious. Follow him.
Yeah. There's so many random people in the world and I'm just like, yeah, his nanny was Irish. Like Muhammad Ali. How the fuck was your nanny Irish?
But that was Muhammad Ali, not that his, because Cassius Clay, his
I don't know anyone named Clay.
But that was the story that was told, that was the people that owned his fucking... It, which makes no... So I think it's like the Clares moved to America.
Right.
And at some point had slaves.
Slaves. So he's actually not related.
So he's actually not related. He was tracing back the Clares.
So because when they would give slaves their name, you could adopt the name of the owner, if that's correct?
Yeah, it was something...
That's dark.
So
I've also been drinking all this, so I might have made that up.
Yeah.
I might have pulled it out of
slaves, like your slaves would be called the Bartlett?
Oh, no.
Is that...
No, my slaves would be called the boys.
The lads.
I'd bring the boys over. And then we go, take a day off, lads. I won't get pissed.
Call them whatever you want. They're still your slaves. Like, you're not sound. No,
they'll be well looked after and all.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing you in the outhouse being like, do you all like me? Like, I know, like...
I'm always I'd let you go, but I haven't got the money.
You're your slave, you're saying what they're taxing me.
Mate, we're all slaves, seeing you think about it. You think about the way the economy works. It's the rich man getting us all to do it.
By the way, them crops do need done, but we're all getting fucked.
And they were like, Mr. Burlick, we have the 12th off. And I go, fucking no. Because what is dead? You know why you're here, you Protestant fuckers. Wouldn't really do that at all.
You mean that?
I just said it for your benefit.
How did we get from Barack Obama to this? I was talking about like a petrol station.
I was
going to
say like a comedy career is still not right.
You seem sure when to start the point. You seem afraid anytime me and Mickey speak to each other.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't realise there's other people listening. You know what I mean? So you used to talk to each other and be like,
in the nicest way, fuck them. Like in the best way.
No, but that's what I meant earlier on when I said about you was needing supervision, boys.
Yeah.
Because you could see us, you was get really excited. And we're on edge, like, what are you going to say?
As soon as we got over the border, we're like, are we on a stag? But that's something, I don't know if you probably, I know this sounds.
The money's different.
But it's been like, but I.
Who the fuck's.
Every time I went over the border as a kid, it was for a holiday. Yeah. So I'm like, fuck, are we going?
There's a president? Who's that? Who is your wee cute friend, that wee Yoda looking fucker? I love him.
Mick D. Higgins.
Mick D.
Guy, big out boy.
Yeah, he's out now in a few months.
Oh, how far do you think you could throw him?
Man, I reckon I could just throw him to the foot of Palestine and go, Mickey, solve that. And it'll be done.
He's like, he's only need to start being nice to each other.
If the world listened to Mickey.
How do you get that?
See, if we were playing World Cup, but Michael D. Higgins was the ball, what round are you getting through to?
How far are you getting?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
You did a 30-yard screamer on Michael D. Higgins.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. Love the man. Baby Yoda with a fada. He's a good lad.
Did you say Baby Yoda with a fada?
Yeah.
Is when you have the edge, man. I don't know what a fada is.
It's like a mudder, but...
not a either.
It's bleeding. It's how they say fada in New York back in the day. Oh, yeah. That's my fada. Yeah.
Hello, mudder.
I never know my fada.
Yeah.
He's the only politician I know that down south that people unanimously like. You know, all together, everyone likes.
He doesn't have any bad...
No, you don't meet people that go, oh, fuck that prick. You don't meet them.
The one thing that's mad about the dog he has is a Jack Russell. He's just that way. The dog
was big. We have a VAR check on Muhammad Ali. So Ali's maternal great-grandfather, Abe Grady, emigrated from Ennis, County Clare, Ireland. So Abe Grady is his... Great grandfather.
Oh shit, okay.
Is Muhammad Ali related to Paul O'Grady?
Fuck.
Maybe. Do you know why I need a... No, it's just Grady, not O'Grady. Just Grady.
Oh, but O'Grady would have been if he went to the States.
No,
but I'm saying they lost the O when they went to America.
No, it's when you went to America and they were surprised to
fuck
see
yeah,
you.
It could be in the
end.
Yeah.
What do you mean
they're
he
surprised
lost?
That you're in? They're like, oh, Grady.
When Ellis Island, is it? Where they all are. Yeah. In Ellis Island. So, like, you'd go up and you'd be like, what's your name? Like, Clarence Powell, and you couldn't understand the word you were saying. So, they're like, hey, it is your name. Your name's Cedric now. That's what
they would do stuff like if your name was like O'Hare, you would get there and they'd go, because O meant of the O'Hares, or like, they would pick the O off.
Like, O'Brien. So, my second name's O'Brien. It means O'Brien, as in Brian Boreau. That's what it goes back to.
So, when you got to the States, your second name would have been Brian.
Whereas my name's Thompson, which means I'm not getting on a fucking boat.
Yeah.
I'm land to look after.
No, here, you got the boat once, you never fucking left.
Yeah.
Or over the draw.
Him and Trevelyan like this.
You're just there with a big bag full of potatoes. Like, what are you hungry for? There's loads.
I'm stuffed.
Do you not like anything else? Fussy eater.
You've been taking those epic during the famine. I can't lose. I've been walking all summer.
Imagine being a fat bastard during the famine. Oh, the social, you'd the social stigma.
Imagine being like, going, it's my thyroid.
My thyroid, he's died. Oh,
I am so wet.
3 minutes.
It is warm in here.
I never thought we'd get there. You are taking Ozempic during the famine.
Oh, oh, so good.
Oh yeah. God, I can't believe that has been said.
Right, that's a good bit.
That's, so God, that's comedy gold. That was comedy,
remember,
gold.
Do you remember a few weeks ago, he said something and he's like, do you reckon that was the first time that's ever been said?
Yeah.
I can't remember what
Lord
it was.
Lord of Guatemala.
He goes, yeah.
If you told me I was a Chinese takeaway, then I would believe
it. He's like, get a curry fried rice and a burrito wrap.
He was like, I want to be the Lord of Guatemala. And he's like, direct, that's the first time that's been said. And I said back to that, like someone saying, oh no, Margaret Thatcher died. That's never been said.
Yeah, good one. Also, can I be fully honest? When you said Guatemala,
checking for that.
When you said
really?
Guatemala,
really? That's all
human.
We're here to agree. It's fine.
But when you said Guatemala, I thought you meant Guantanamo, and I was like, "Fuck!" I got very mixed up.
I love the assumption because I'm proud. I like Thatcher.
Nobody likes that.
I'm working class. She's above an evil all, bitch. She's a fucking bitch.
I love.
No one likes that, Terry.
Yeah. Nobody likes her. No one. Thatcher died and Derry just had a riot. And we were like, why are you riot? We're like, well, just don't know how to be happy.
Where were we at, genuinely?
How do we start comedy?
Chicken Fiddler Road.
It's basically how. No, go back again. So watch Chicken Fiddler Road, you go back again.
Yeah.
It was, how did you start comedy? Yeah. How the fuck did we go from that to Obama? That was deadly.
Whiskey.
It went well for them.
Comedy, baby. That's ADHD unhinged.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'd imagine the drink doesn't help.
But it quiets the voices.
So what about your first comedy gig then, Mickey?
Mine was
2008.
Well, Mike, so I started twice. I don't know if I told you this.
What do you mean you started twice?
I started stand-up.
Well, you went before the gun,
I literally started twice and then I died so bad that I was like, I'm never doing that again. And then I was like, I'll give it one more bash. But so my first one was in Coleraine, where I was like so fucking drunk.
Yeah.
That.
Not like.
I know. But I was like 18, got one laugh and I went, nailed it. And then all the booze hit me in one go and everything was underwater.
Drinks or people going, boo.
People didn't bail
you. I couldn't even tell you. Like.
Booing people's bad outputs.
Have you ever been booed?
Yeah, once.
I think bail if someone says something controversial.
Weirdly,
I've had complete silence.
Oh, we're from the north, it's like this. But generally, there's times, there's places in Northern Ireland where you can make a point about something and it just depends on who you are. I made a point about I was doing my bit about trying to explain transgender to my granda and it involved that boxer who was it. And I went, it's fucking, maybe, you know, she wasn't a man. She was just a woman had high testosterone and I got booed for that in a certain place.
Yeah, it's just.
But that's a place that like doesn't let women drive, let alone box, let alone a man become a woman.
No, there definitely are places in the north where you go like when it's in your diary, you're like,
yeah,
no smart jokes tonight.
Yeah, is it really that bad? Because I don't want to say resurgence because that would mean it went away. But I mean like the amount of fucking comedians coming out on art the last since COVID.
We said this to Shane, somehow my Instagram is just all yours.
But I think the reason behind it was that TV never came anywhere near the north.
Mm.
So we had this kind of, because I'm going a bit longer than you. Like, so me, Shane, Geddes all started kind of the same time. And there was a point where everybody was trying to get into comedy clubs and trying to get into the same sort of TV shows and stuff. And we kind of realized that was never going to happen. So everyone just went, well, fuck it. We'll just do our own thing.
Yeah.
And then it kind of blossomed into this kind of.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about the North as well being like a post-conflict society. The audiences are really up for just
having the crack.
We know you're
100%. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's a great place to perform stand-up and just be.
And that's why anytime you have to do a serious radio interview or TV or anything industry-wise where they're like, don't do this, don't do this. People might be annoyed. We genuinely don't care.
Yeah.
But we're like, what if that offends someone? We're like, them fucking. We're not like, if you say something hateful and they get offended, I feel bad.
It's not that we don't care. We do care. We just know that like some people are going to be annoyed and there's nothing you can do about that.
That's what I mean. When I say I don't care, I'm like, well,
it's not just trying to be controversial.
But if you're offended, that's not my fault. We're not these guys coming out and being like, let's talk about trans people. Let's talk about immigrants. We're just trying to be funny and sometimes it annoys people.
And that's the thing.
Which is, you're within your rights to not like it and be annoyed.
Yeah.
But I don't
yeah.
have to fucking
no, but it's
dance
always,
to your tune either. I don't have to do that.
But it's always been there. Like, I remember Ricky Gervais tweeted once about, you know, the idea of like, you can't say anything anymore. Yeah. Like, you can. But some people are going to be upset.
Yeah.
So it's more the
but it's been like that in comedy forever.
Yeah,
forever. It's just there was never social media.
I think it's more the comedian's attitude. If you're if you're going out to try and make people laugh and you accidentally offend someone, as part of the
process. If you look at Eddie Murphy's Delirious and what was the other big one?
Delirious
Raw.
Raw. So they are the most offensive.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Quite homophobic stuff.
You look back
comedy gold though.
Yeah.
But there just wasn't social media then. But can you imagine the backlash he was getting back then?
The problem was TV started listening to Twitter. Like, this person's offender. Like, their profile picture is a fucking Ford Nissan.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
That's not a real person.
That's the thing I've always thought about, like, comedy as the industry, is that they pay more attention to tweets that are negative about things they make as opposed to... So I figured out that... I figured this out. But my theory is people who like your stuff won't tell you. People who love your stuff will tell you. People who don't like your stuff tell everybody else.
Yeah.
And what happens is telling everybody else affects what gets made.
Yeah.
So people in the industry, in TV, radio, whatever it is, go, oh, fuck, that caused a big fucking uproar. Yeah. We can't talk to that. We can't do this. But there's thousands of
and
people.
And TV almost forgot, like,
that's some podcasts are.
Some of the
yourselves, you know,
TV
yourselves.
Forgot, like, some of the best shows are, like, majorly offensive to a lot of people. But shows like Brass Eye, shows like Savage Eye.
Yeah.
Very offensive. Now, what is remembered 10 years from now? It's shows like Brass Eye, shows like Savage Eye. Shows that you go, fucking fair play to. But Father Ted at the time was controversial.
Yeah.
Almost you look back now and you go, that's just silly.
Yeah.
But at the time, they're like, don't mock the church.
Yeah, the comedy that changes society can sometimes be like, it's a bit close to the bone.
Well, but isn't that the thing about comedy? It's usually reflective of society.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's something trending, a hot topic that now everyone dances around, and then the comedy just takes the piss out of that.
Yeah.
You'll be like, you are getting annoyed over this thing. How fucking stupid are you? And everyone's like, actually, yeah, that is stupid.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing?
But then you always have a portion that are still offended by it.
So you are saying that you think, like, broadcasters and companies were mad conservative when it came to the North and comedy.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the biggest comedian to come out of the North ever?
Kildee. Has to be.
I mean, it depends on what way you look at it, though, because, like, Kildee, industry-wise, 100%, but then once Kildee went to UK, he started presenting, and a lot of people didn't know he was a stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, for us, he's the first one to fucking almost break out of Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
At the minute, you've got Vittorio, Shane, Geddes.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of guys that are touring all over the place. I'm doing stuff in Australia, you've done stuff in Canada, New Zealand, like
Dubai, shit like
that. You know, so it's kind of, in terms of industry, Jim Owen is probably the biggest, but again, he started in Australia.
Right.
To me, it always just felt like the reason the industry wasn't paying attention to the North wasn't even because it was the North, it was because it was a class thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland's just working class, mostly anyway. And the industry has only really started going, oh, that's a diverse market. You know what I mean?
It's the weird thing
the last two up at a party.
Yeah, man, I just think that, you know, it's like, if they'd pay attention to what we meant, it would be...
But it's like, we still have that lens applied to us of, oh, why have no NI comedians made a TV show, or why have they not made stuff like that? That industry isn't there. Like, people don't get that lack of infrastructure being there for any industry. It means you're not going to get the same, like, you know... You'll get English comedians, they have sketch shows, they have TV shows. That TV industry has been there for so fucking long.
But Give My Headpiece was big.
But Give My Headpiece was massive and important. So I'm convinced Give My Headpiece is the reason the troubles ended. Because it was the first show to actually really take the piss out of what was going on.
And as much as people can go, like, oh, it's Prods and Catholics comedy.
It's what
they were
it
doing it in the 90s. They were getting bullets in the post regularly. And they weren't
shot,
sponsored by Love Honey. Like, they were getting threatened to be murdered.
There's a fucking,
the jokes they were doing. And that takes balls.
If you ever seen the, like, and it's, I think it's on YouTube, Give Me Headpiece first thing was called Two Seas Fairs and a Wedding. So it was around the same time as Four Weddings and a Funeral. And it was right before the ceasefire. And there's so many fucking great jokes in it. But we both know the guys who were in it. I know one of the producers, and he was like, my entire job that entire time was keeping the BBC away from it so we could get these jokes made.
Yeah.
Because they were fucking dangerous, the stuff they were doing. Like, it was still violent up there. And as a fan of it, I go, that's fully why the troubles happened. Because it just turned the mirror around and the whole country went, the fuck? What are we arguing about here? Like,
here's the bias that I feel against Northern Ireland, is that those guys aren't looked at industry wide as like political satirists. At that time, for what that situation was, McGarry should be looked at
in the same vein
as like an Iannucci was.
Yeah, yeah.
Armando Iannucci, a guy who made like Four Lions, he made Partridge, but and he made Thick of It, a lot of political satire, Death of Stalin. McGarry and those guys were making the same thing,
yeah,
but palatable to a Northern Irish audience.
Yeah.
And
everybody knew where they lived as well.
It's looked at as a fucking, oh, it's just guys from the North making jokes about. It's a dangerous thing you're
making. And they were doing it live before they recorded as well. Everything on stage.
They should be looked at by the industry as fucking ballsy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They took a risk. And 100%. It's not looked at that.
And on top of that, we did a roast for your birthday and Tim McGarry, who's 61, blew us all out of the water.
Yeah.
Like, destroyed every fucking one of us.
Yeah.
Like,
he's amazingly good.
Yeah.
But because of where we are from, it's looked down upon.
I always find whenever I went to England and did, or even the Edinburgh Festival and did jokes of being from Northern Ireland, it was heck 10 years ago. Oh, he's talking about being from Northern Ireland.
Yeah,
and now it's made a resurgence for people who weren't even alive during any of the Troubles.
We're hacked for talking about that, but then you go to England and they talk about, oh, the tube and fucking...
Oh, the Cockfosters line. And they're like, oh, what a genius.
Like, you're like, fucking English bastard. So just because he says it with an accent of a man who's never had financial worry in his life...
You're fucking white willy up or ah?
Pisses my... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's go take a post office now. Let's do it.
It's all online these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we take the post office back and then we deliver it to the back doors. Yeah. In the bin. Here's a photo of it.
And the neighbor has it. Yeah, the neighbor took it.
That's the only time I get real pissy is I do feel the industry is racist in that, like, if it's not English, it's not clever.
Yeah, there's
Partridge, in all of its essence, was about about middle class England.
By the way,
but if you do it about lower class,
filled home with this in the tree on the way home.
Because
Derry Girls. So Lisa McGee, who wrote Derry Girls, had a show called London Irish.
Yeah,
that nobody really watched, and it was about Irish people living in London and the mad shit they got up to. The only difference really between there's more difference in the writing, but in Derry Girls, the English guy was there.
Yeah, he's the butt of the joke.
Yeah, but it was also to get English people watching it.
Yeah.
And it's some of the most fantastic writing, and it's the most, like, everybody in that talks like they're from Derry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even the girls that aren't from Derry,
they're
from Derry. And when I first watched Derry Girls, it was like, it might look like they're overacting, but they're actually just authentically from Derry. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, everything about that was, authentic and fucking great, and it had a heart to it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, what's going on in Northern Ireland? We should make Game of Thrones over there. And we're still like, can we have a fucking gig?
Yeah. Well, that's like,
give me Live with the Apollo. I'll show
every time you try to make
people laugh.
You try to make something that's authentically Northern Irish or Irish, they complain and like, oh, it's not, it won't translate very well to, it's Katie Price as the commissioner. It won't translate very well to, an English audience. Then you make a Young Offenders and then everyone's licking your hole going, well, that's authentically that. And you're like, that's what you have tried.
But it's always a problem of the industry in terms of, especially in terms of comedy, it's the same people have been there for fucking years.
Yeah.
And they think of themselves as still young. It's like being,
we're way funnier when we talk about
I know when we get stuck into this stuff, it gets really fucking boring. But
no, it's not. This actually,
this is who you use our lads.
This is genuine.
But this is what is Mike.
I do agree. As much as the industry is like battling, inequality in terms of sexism and racism, which are good things, I don't feel that's a good battle when it's all still rich people.
Yeah.
I know there was one episode of Mock the Week where they had the most diverse lineup they'd ever had and they all went to Eton.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one thing. They all went to private school.
Yeah.
All came from money.
But I felt like when we were focusing in and all that stuff, when people were going over, like, I rewatched all the episodes of Friends and I counted the amount of, ethnically diverse characters there are. And then all that stuff kind of stopped once World War III might break out.
Yeah.
We kind of went, oh, there's actual problems.
Yeah, all the girls were like, I can't fight him a girl. You're like, you used to be a fucking woman. Went and fight someone.
But once we might get nuked, everyone going, well, I went through Harry Potter and here's all the amount of, ethnic people. And you're like, it don't matter because we're going to die. All that stuff stopped.
I will say, so that Irish guy in Harry Potter was fucking racist.
Seamus Finnegan?
Fucking racist.
Was he racist or was he accurate?
Nah, I was racist.
What, the Irish guy just to blow stuff up?
Yeah, I was fuming.
I've read some books.
Do you know why I was fuming?
Yeah, and they made a
and they signed a treaty and quit the Sissies. Yeah. They made a priority. The North. He should have been one of us, will he?
He should have been called
Jerry O'Noa, wasn't he?
He got his own show on Disney Plus. It's called Signed Off. It's a great representation.
He should have been going, you're 5 minutes to get out of the Great Hall, or I'm going to slither in with a bomb.
Yeah, he cast off.
It should have been a sword and balaclava.
There's one scene in the movie he cast Abracadabra, but he told them 5 minutes before he was going to do it.
Yeah. Abracadabra was the code word.
Yeah.
Mickey watches fucking the Harry Potter and goes, Barty Crouch, say nothing.
Keep your fucking mouth shut. Never get on that broom again, lad.
Fuck me.
There's one in Harry Potter. You know, there's Seamus Finnegan. There's
a guy with a wand behind his knee for saying that.
There's my favorite's the African one called Kingsley Shacklebolt. That's an actual.
Oh, God, character. It's pretty rough in that, yeah.
That's another one.
There's Asian the Asian character. Girl called.
He might have called Cho Chang, but her mouth started to sing when she says it.
Yeah, no trans people. Come on, JK, try harder.
Oh, fucking hell.
Which means she loves them.
We got about 4 clean minutes there.
Thanks for having us down, boys.
The reason why I asked who you think the biggest comedian was, because I was thinking there growing up, who did I used to see that's from the North? Yeah. And other than Kilty, you actually can't think of any.
Yeah.
You know, like when you put on Live at the Apollo, even the old ones, you see all these, like the fucking old ones.
So Kilty's the only one that, like, you could say is from the North that was on it. Like, Jamone's done it a couple of times, but again, he started in Australia, so it's kind of, he kind of bypasses the from the North thing and doesn't talk about being from the North, whereas Kilty's, because Kilty's dad was murdered and kind of.
It's relatable.
Yeah.
It's a normal thing. No, sorry. I don't mean it's a normal thing.
It generally is, though. Like, as mental as that sounds, somewhat, every one of us has a family member.
Yeah, you know what I mean by that? I don't mean it's a normal thing. It's like, just applies to everyone. I mean, like, it's a relatable thing that it's not like, oh, fuck, that must be shocking. Be like, no, I know someone else that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that was one of the things of
and I think
I know Paddy. I've opened for him on tour, and he's without a doubt one of the most generous fucking. He got me my first fucking, like, well-paid gig. And it was his doing.
Mm. Mickey didn't carry that on, by the way.
No, I was like, I'll do my best, Patrick, I swear to God. But there was a kind of thing of like, it made sense for him to fucking expand because it was like, look at the shit he's been through. He's a great example, like almost ambassador for Northern Ireland of like, went through all that shit and he's like still out laughing at them.
Riding Cat Daly.
Fucking.
Is that not what we all want?
I met her too. Brought her own carrier to a gig one night.
What a lucky man, it's a true story. Yeah, man,
I full blown was like, when you've got a keeper there. Like, so we were at a gig and there was a fridge full of beer and she came. She
cracked open a can and Anne turns up like, oh, are we drinking? I'm driving, it's fun.
Yeah, the car came through the wall.
But that's my sound.
I'm trying to tell a cute, sweet story, right? So
I'm a celebrity, pour me one.
I'm a celebrity, get me in there. So I'm at the beer fridge, right?
Yeah. And let me tell the story.
It's cute. Let me tell. This is a clip, right? So
you get 5 stars, or I'll drink with you.
No, I'm not gonna say it. So I'm standing at this wee beer fridge, and the word gets around with all the sound crew. Get Daly's coming, get Daly. Right? And she walked in, and I swear to God, in real life, she's so pretty. You go, like you just panic, right? And all I could think to say was, do you want a beer? And she was like, no, you're right, I've got this. And then just pulled a full bottle of wine out of her handbag, and I was like, that's what happens. You start riding a Fenian.
Yeah. Really thinking like, who have I got an arse that I can fucking give that story about?
Good people. Like,
do you feel like things are changing up the North now though?
Oh, it changed years ago. Years ago,
like, it's performatively, it's like
it is just slagging now.
If you want a grant, if you want the council to pay you money, you go, things are still rough here, doesn't really matter. Like, no one really, it's weirder if you give a fuck at this point, if that makes sense. Like, me and him, like, would slag each other about religion. But if you actually cared, you're a fucking weirdo. That's the point that's at.
Yeah. We were talking about this when you left to go to the toilet. Because, like, we feel so like, oh, fuck, they're joking about that. And I'm like, But they're entitled to joke about
no,
that.
No, but that is at. I know you obviously said that to them.
Yeah.
I might have been sitting here thinking it. I'm on edge here.
We want
no,
you to joke about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
we
want everyone to laugh at it. Like, I think that's the thing.
No, but that,
like,
there is still a huge portion.
And again,
yeah, but
I think it comes from
a portion.
It comes from a place where we're not entitled to give our opinion and tell you what should
walk on our boys.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, we didn't grow up there. We don't know anyone that grew up there.
But I think even the difference even in like me and you, like 10 years between us. So I remember the tail end of the Troubles. Mm. I remember some fucking bad things.
Yeah.
It was pretty much done by the time you were growing up. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah.
So I went through a phase of like, I didn't meet a Protestant until I was 19. So I could legally vote before I'd talk to someone from the other side of the town I grew up in.
I was similar.
And then you talk to each other and go, what do you think of us? And they go, I don't really know. Do you want a beer? And then all of a sudden it's done.
The day I met a Catholic with big tits, I didn't hold a sectarian thought in my head.
You didn't? You said to me, Mickey, I've always loved your comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, thank you, Willie.
Well, the minute someone my mate Georgia wants to snog you, I'm fucking feeling a gay like us. I know it's Sheena Fianna Fáil. I just realised that it was the words.
Yeah, and you also sang the tune of the sash. It was old and it was beautiful, the condom my father wore.
Yeah. You don't give a shit. It's funny.
I saw this thing recently as well. It was a guy from the north. He was a playwright talking about identity politics. And he was like, Northern Ireland hoped at some point to catch up to the rest of the world in terms of identity politics because we know how bad it is. And now we're looking at the rest of the world like, would you ever come back? Because the whole world seems to be fucking divided and we're like, oh, it doesn't end well. It doesn't end well. It ends with the pints. So get the middle bit of the way. Like anybody in the north kind of gets the idea of like, are you skint or are you rich? Skint. Yeah. Get it.
Yeah.
If you're rich, you go, well, you know, wait, you're...
Yeah. Did you have, you know, did all your brothers and sisters have the same parents? And if the answer is yes, I don't want to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
You don't know
too stable.
I don't know
stable.
What I went through.
Yeah.
That was good talking anyway, really.
You're middle class by my style.
I'm fucking not middle class. I'm working class as shit. I just happen to have parents who saved.
Stingy parents
and bought me these shoes.
As parents who didn't save, but they're trying to outdo each other.
I had
stepdad trying to outbuy a dad, and you're going, well, the new PlayStation is out. You know, the new rock band is out, and I would like the drum set as well.
But that's the thing, isn't it, lads? Like when you strip it all back, if you take the labels away, you're like, Jesus, like we have a lot more in common.
Strippers, we don't even have them.
No, strippers. I think it boils down to, especially the way the world feels at the minute, everyone's fucking freaking out. Boil it down to money.
Yeah.
And it's, are you skin, so am I. And I look at the Troubles like, are we getting into this?
I think we're all past it.
We're getting into this.
So we're sitting down in the restaurant.
We're last up.
No, but the story I always talk about is that, so my granddad on my mom's side fought in World War II, like fought for the RAF, Germans, British Army.
Terrible
man. He didn't fight it. He just killed for them. Nobody, he was in the RAF.
Yeah.
And he lived next door to another guy who was in the British Army during World War II. So they beat Hitler. And my parents grew, no, my mother grew up in an estate that was all Catholics and Protestants. Then politicians got involved and the Catholics could put out of the estate into the Gravacki Road in Portadown, but they could put in the brand new houses. So the politicians went, those fucking Catholics have brand new houses. The Catholic politicians were going, they've fucking ghettoized you. And all of a sudden the working classes just started killing each other.
Yeah.
And you can take that and put it into any conflict in the world and go, well, that's what happened. Some fucking politician got involved and now you all hate each other.
I think that
same with stuff down here.
Yeah.
We say it all the time. You know what I mean? I always say it to him, anytime there's a protest, there's a counter-protest from both sides. It's like, these are marching for this, let's counter that. These are marching for this, let's counter that. And I always say, if you actually just stopped and just talked, you'd have a lot more in common 100%. Than you'd have to disagree with.
100%. Yeah, but
any politician says, like, these people are taking this from you, they're taking that from you, like a Farage or any of that, those figures, like, they're taking that. I'm like, show me your house.
And I
guarantee you, like, you're not watching the electric meter, like.
No.
Yeah. I was listening to fucking Christy Murray yesterday because I knew it was coming down here. And,
I'm just a walking man.
But he's the song with Palestine where he's like, the Jews and the Muslims got all along and then the Zionists turned up. And you could say Zionism is just a bunch of politicians pretending to be religious.
Yeah.
And it's, you take it to every fucking conflict in the world.
Isn't there a lot of people who say that racism is a classist thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's your upper class, it's being a racist, pass it down then. You know what I mean?
Right, so I heard a great fact about, so the word for the devil in Irish is...
Siobhan, you definitely know that. The word for the devil translates to black man, but the word for black people means blue people.
And it was something about a trading route between Africa and Ireland where the African traders either wore blue clothes that no one here had seen, or their skin looked blue in the sun.
Mm.
So racism doesn't exist when you're fucking poor. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong, unless at some point back in the fucking years ago, like, these fucking blue bastards are going to wear. But the idea of it is just so fucking stupid.
And it's a thing up north here, as well down here, when they're like, oh, we just want white people. We don't want immigrants. See, when you just breed white people, they're ugly as fuck.
And then you go marching on the 12th.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes! 100%.
Did I have a biggie? Fucking yeah! Oh, as I say,
you shouldn't be comfortable enough to do that. It's only been in there with these boys.
Yeah, you went to the toilet and they adopted me.
By the way, as I say, enjoy yourself next time you're in Belfast. That was a trap.
As I say, in this ethnically diverse room right now.
It is diverse.
White
you're here.
People are like bananas. We get 3 minutes, we look fine, and then we go to shit.
When you go to Australia, Canada, America, where it's a melting pot and everybody's fucking gorgeous.
When they're like, oh, my father was like Lebanese and my mother's Nigerian, and I'm like, Jeremy, we're like, oh, and you go to us, what's your heritage?
She's from there.
And my mother's from Portadown and my father's from Coleraine, and this is my brother, and he comes in on 3 arms. It's not sexy. You know what I mean?
That's 3 arms, pretty sexy. Like, he could meet the girl and totally really cool. Have a great time.
No, I have to explain this to Terrence. They're going to talk really cool. Three kids.
It's weird, to be honest. It is weird.
Right. To understand talking to Mickey, watch all of the terrible movies from the 80s and then speak to him.
Yeah, still culturally important. Do you mean he got it?
Yeah, but then I have to say it to Terrence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So,
but that's my thing. It's like, people are like, oh, you could have people mixing here. You're like, fucking just being just white is boring.
But you know the thing about, didn't the Vikings come to Ireland and take all the hot people back to...
Is that that's the excuse we're going with, is it?
No, so there's...
Apparently,
if you go to Iceland, there's like loads of fucking gorgeous, red-headed, blue-eyed people.
Have you ever been to Scandinavia?
Because they took the hot people and fucked off.
Does Iceland count as Scandinavia?
Yeah. As Irish people, like, we are always like, oh, they're good crack. We fucking need to be... Go to Europe. We are ugly as fuck. You're gorgeous in this room. In Norway, you're nothing.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Come on, lads.
In Poland, I'm a great
clip this.
In Norway,
clip this.
In Norway, PB Barnum's sweeping. You being the greatest showman.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be
the bearded lady.
You're looking like this weird freak. Like, here, you're gorgeous, but in Norway, it's like, fucking, how is that even?
And in Norway, me and you just blend in.
Yeah, with a fish.
That's why you pick the gills.
Call back.
It all circles back, boys. I mean,
yeah.
No, but remember when we went to Belfast to do that episode, and we got into it a bit, and then we were like, you know what? We're 3 fellas from Dublin standing in the middle of Belfast talking about all this. You've had to cue it.
So who did you interview from the?
Sam Miller,
yeah.
You know,
he was in the RA.
He was in the RA. Yeah. He done a stint. It is, yeah.
Yep.
Just for people who may not be familiar.
Yeah.
Just making sure that people know.
But he was in the right. He done a stint in the H blocks, got out, went to America, walked illegally in a casino, robbed the Brinks, came home, as part of the Good Friday Agreement.
Couldn't stop committing crime.
He actually said this though. He said this. He opened the comic book shop in New York. Yeah, he was mad into comics growing up. He opened the comic book shop in New York and he said it was too good. He had life was too good.
Now it was 14 years. He was there for 14 years.
And he said everything was still good. He had a missus, he had a kid, he had a great job, loads of money. And then he said he got word that this Brinks...
I think he's seen it.
Yeah, he started... He's seen it
and it wasn't closed properly, the Brinks. And
like, a friend of his used to walk there and used to have like 4th of July barbecues, and he was there. And like in one of the rooms, it's just like a whole room full of cash that they were going to burn because they print new money. So they get rid of the old money. And he was like, what are you doing with that? He's like, I think they're going to burn it or something. And he was like... Right.
But the door was left open and sometimes money had fallen out of the bottom of it, and he said he just couldn't leave it alone. And he tried to rob 1/4 million and left with 8 million.
Yeah.
Fucking
hell. They took so much money.
Only the 8, silly bastard.
I know.
They took so much money, the van they were in wouldn't start because it was so heavy.
Black smoke was coming out of the engine, so they had to get back out before the electric gates closed, throw loads of money out of the back,
and then
back in and blow off.
This isn't cool. I know
he did
guy.
All that for Ireland?
Not for the crack. He did it for the crack.
I'm sorry, the prod came out of me there.
It's not as good. I know a guy who went to jail because he tried to rob books that they were going to mulch and like stole a lot of books. And they're like, fucking 4 years in jail. He was like, it was books, man. books nobody was going to use.
Books. I knew loyalists who went on hunger strike, like loyalists hunger strike too, but they put weight on.
What?
They were smuggling food in. So there's the famous Irish hunger strike, loyalist hunger strike too, but they fucking just didn't have the belief in it.
This fella's on hunger strike for 18 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Size him. Yeah. Loyalist hunger strike is slimming one.
7 cents.
Hunger strike, yeah, you don't eat between 9 and 6.
Only people need to go on Ozempic after a hunger strike.
I was telling her about him saying you were on Ozempic during the famine.
Yeah.
Maybe that was bad.
So long you use a podcast as well.
Yeah.
How
many podcasts are you actually doing?
Yeah.
30.
I do everyone else's podcast. Well, I've got that turned on.
5 or 6 a week.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You've nothing else to do up the north. Just come on, do a podcast.
Yeah, stop us ratting.
Yeah, it was like literally ceasefire, good for your agreement, podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You guys got Obama, we got the internet.
It's a fair trade.
Yeah,
fair
trade. I think, I mean, and then especially with the comedy podcast, we all kind of just jump on each other's.
Yeah.
So it's like a wee collective kind of, can you do next Tuesday? Can you do this one? Can you do this one? Yeah. And it's weird being a comedian doing a podcast because you
know. But that's what really I wanted to even ask you. Is a comedian doing podcast, do you ever get serious? Like, is there ever a serious topic? Like, couldn't be, could that?
No, because
even when we do, there'll be a joke somewhere.
Like me and you got very serious, not talking about the subject matter, but me and you got serious on the train, but got very jokey about it.
It's a weird point. I think a part of it is, that's why we're all so close, is because we've all got this preset thing of like, what's the worst thing I could say right now?
Yeah.
Say it, he'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
So he tells you like bad news and you just see an eyebrow go up and you're like, go.
Yeah. Do it.
It says something and you're like, thank you. I needed to hear that because
it's slightly, you know, damaging. Do you know when someone tries to tell you a real sad story? You're like, when I was 7, I wanted these pair of shoes and I saved up for them. And then the shoes went up in price. And you're like, that's not, I just don't. It's not that fucking sad.
Man, I was bad at the time though. That was my whole community money. And I asked you not to say it in front of people. I was a bra I was trying to buy, by the way.
Yeah, he got them, but he was told gay.
Yeah. I better fucking kill me.
Yeah. Whereas the thing, if you ask him, no comedian really, if you ask them like, you know, how was childhood and you're getting Angela's ashes, do you know what I mean? But you're never going to get like fucking, I was top of the class and I was...
But I think there's also a thing as well, like there's something about doing stand-up that gives you like almost like an elevated level of empathy, because you have to kind of judge on what an audience is feeling in terms of how you're telling your jokes. So if one of us goes through a bad time, we're all there.
Mm.
You know, like when Dave Chappelle said something about like when the rest of the world's fighting about stuff, comedy green rooms fix it.
Mm. Ah, it's such a stupid quote.
It's a stupid quote, but it kind of makes sense.
They all fix it. Meanwhile, they're doing cocaine. Off.
Which also fixes things. You go, no, mate, seriously, it was really sad.
Trump, Netanyahu, just fuck, get them all in, wiped out the fuck, then fix it.
Oh, man. Well, that, do you know that whole thing?
Would you get wiped out?
It was a documentary made, I haven't seen it, but I've heard about this, that part of the reason why the trouble stopped in Northern Ireland was because of ecstasy.
You literally just said it was giving me headpiece.
No,
it's
no.
Ecstasy.
But it was
make a fucking mind up.
Oh, man, how do you think I wrote that? But
you take 4 Tim McGarry's and you're fucking gone.
In fairness, that's what they call them.
Well, a large part of it.
When you go to the festival sound head, you call them Garry's. Up the north, they call them Tim McGarry's. Yeah.
He loved that
too. Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
Who's to blame for me solving the peace for you?
It was like, drug culture is a, like trance music and shit is still huge.
So there was a nightclub called the Arena? Yeah. Where it was kind of the first mixed nightclub and everybody was on pills. So they were all just hugging each other and all of a sudden it was like, what the fuck are they fighting about? Like, so anyway, what's crack with you, boys?
Did you ever take ecstasy, boys?
Yeah. It was a rhetorical question.
As good as it sounds like, go on.
Do you think it'd be more fun on ecstasy? I do too.
Man, I reckon this could be a group effort. I reckon the 4 of us can get on Snapchat right now and have a good night.
Do you ever do mushrooms?
Never. It's like, I've dabbled in a wee bit of fucking ecstasy and MDMA and stuff like that, but I've never done mushrooms.
Why?
Never?
I know that I would have to be in a very comfortable, like, right, this is where I want to sit, and I never have fucking time.
Yeah, of course.
Although I did recently get some edibles that were strong enough that I was like, this is the same as acid.
Did you take the edibles?
Yeah.
I've never heard of anybody have a good experience on them.
I'll tell you, like, you need to be, again, in your own house with snacks, water, juice,
even,
whatever.
Even
like,
and a first aid kit.
And just
and
know...
Push, like teddy bear.
But also know what's going to happen. Yeah. You have to go, it's going to get fucking weird.
No, but like I know people who will literally smoke 50 fucking joints a day.
Don't get me wrong.
Like cigarettes, like, and like a chain smoke all day. They'll do edibles and they're in the back of an ambulance when they go out.
It never ends well.
In my house,
I have a plush Stitch from Lilo and Stitch for when I do edibles because he makes me feel safe. Like if I take an edible, I'm like, Stitch is here and I can cuddle him. I just need that safety.
The one thing that freaks me out about him is how long they last.
Back of an ambulance.
What's
that? What if it's not there?
So I would also he's in the house.
I would also say this about edibles. If you're going to take an edible, make sure the next day you've nothing to do.
Because it's
how long it takes to metabolize in your body. So I took one recently and I was like, I thought I'll eat one of these and then I'll go to sleep. Like once it's kicking in, I'll get in the bed, have a good night's sleep. And my missus came into the living room about 4 hours later and I was just melted into the couch. And she was like, are you coming to bed? I went, I can't get up. It's like, I've just watched an entire documentary about Glastonbury, but my eyes were closed the whole time. And I saw the whole fucking thing.
I remember 4 years to follow you.
But mate, I remember thinking my balls were like turning into bubbles. And I was like, bubbles, must be Glastonbury bubbles. And I had a lovely night, laughed my head off, it was great. And then the next day we were going to meet my friends and I was like, you're going to have to drive, because I can't remember.
How to drive.
And I was talking to my mate on Saturday and he was like, you were out of your fucking mind 24 hours later. So it is a case of like, just make sure you have a stretch of time to go.
That's why I would never even take that. Mushrooms, yeah. But
mushrooms are good, crack.
But it's not the same as edibles, Luke.
No.
Mushrooms are easier.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I took mushrooms. I was in Amsterdam going to see a group called the Flatbush Zombies.
He's in Amsterdam doing a bit of window shopping.
Yeah, I was working. Not that busy working. That day.
The worst hand job in the world.
I was like, the gash my father wore, that was me. Just had one really fat day.
Remember 1669?
Oh, you're trying to write this down. You're writing all this down.
I'm trying to hit notes on a blowjob. They didn't like it. But I went to see this group called the Flapper Zombies, which is like a stoner hip hop group. Took mushrooms before that. I was the fucking best thing ever. Because they're big, like their crowds big into like psychedelics and like, yeah, we're all one and we all love each other. That's the kind of place you want mushrooms in.
Lads, I just want to plug. Buys at 15 podcast.
We need to do a part two as well, boys.
Yeah, maybe separately.
I have loads.
Separate them.
I have loads that I want to take her into. Forget it. We'll do it another time.
Oh, 100%. I'd love to come back down.
I just want to plug, boys.
I'm on tour. When's this going to go out soon?
Thursday. It's going to go out Thursday.
So if you're in Australia, I'm going to be in Perth, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney in August.
How the fuck are they letting you in? No, no, messing. Go ahead.
This hasn't went out yet.
Yeah. Because I think I'm Shane Todd. And I'm on tour around Ireland starting September. So mickeybartleconnolly.com.
Whereabouts are you going to be in September?
So I start in Armagh, but I'm doing around the north and I'm going to be in the Crackdown in Dublin at some point. Going to be in Donegal, going to be all over the place. So I'm just adding dates as long.
Yeah,
right. I'm booking it myself. So there's a lot of it that hasn't been booked yet. But I'll be there.
Booking a gig on Saturday and it's Friday night. You're like, yeah, no one show up because you're
like, Shane, tweet about this quick. Would you? Tell Kevin Hart I'm on tour.
Lazy Boys Podcast, which is a podcast me, Mickey, and Shane Todd, which is weirdly darker than this.
Oh, well worse. Oh, it's well, lads. Well, listen to what last week he's talking about. Who's your favourite Nazi?
We didn't say who's our favourite.
Who would be the best crack?
They were ranking them and all. And do you know what made? I was really impressed with how many Nazis he knew. Shane was like, cut all of this. And he was like, what about Joseph Goebbels? What about him? I was like, whoa.
Goebbels would have been the best.
I believe it's Goring, the morphine addict who loved nothing but womanizing. Goring would have
been. How do you even know who that is?
Goring?
Yeah.
Because he was a big part of the Nazi regime. He was a big part of how Hitler got into power.
To be all naughty, but if they were helping the Nazis, they wouldn't know.
Land here, lad.
The guy you guys give. Yeah.
Fucking land your plane, lad.
Yeah.
I love the uniform.
Just want a fucking straw marine. We're not even...
That's a lovely helmet.
Yeah.
Who made those, Hugo Boss? Yeah. Fucking lovely.
Russia, never been there. Would love to go. Goring was a big part of how Hitler got big. I'm a history nerd, but Goring was class. Not class.
I wouldn't say that.
But very fascinating.
But anyway, Lazy Boys podcast.
Yeah. If you're mad into all of that, this is what the lads talk about.
You want to hear more right wing views?
If we do a deep dive into Heydrich, it's great.
Anything else you want to plug?
Willie, you're not on tour.
I'm not on tour. I'm taking this year off.
Famously not on tour. You get a load of shit about this.
I just fucking done, like, past 5 years have been done writing an hour every year, and I'm like, let's take a fucking break.
Yeah. And the lads keep giving you a stick over that, don't they?
What's that?
They keep giving you a stick over.
Yeah,
I don't. I'm taking next year off. I'm married to the road, baby.
I'm so, like, money does not motivate me in any fashion, so I'm just like, I'll do a show when it's
Whereas done. I, on the other hand, will take money out of your pocket if you just don't want it.
Yeah. Whereas I don't want your money.
He walked in early and they're like, we were asking homeless people for money.
The exchange rate, it's worth it.
Right, that's the end, is it, boys?
Boys, thanks for having us on.
Thanks for coming down. I appreciate it coming down. We know it's a bit of a trek, but look.
Yeah, no, thanks very much, boys.
Well, there's a bar on the train, man.
Yeah. Don't know if you noticed.
Anytime. Yeah. Even if you want me to just sit in and watch.
That's what she said.
Yeah, that should be a podcast talk.
In Dublin, I'm happy to come down here. We're not allowed them because Jesus goes to bed at 11 up north, so we can't have them.
Will you blow her up, Bubba?
Don't say blow her up in front of us.
She's on the pole.
We'll start getting flashbacks.
That'd be such a good name for an ordinary stripper. Blow her up.
That's the one we have, but it's a blow up doll, just on it. Anyway, cut this off. Siobhan, stop.
Yeah, take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week. Thanks to the legends at Roy Style Furniture Shop for the support.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roy Style has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa, sorted. Beds, covered. Dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus, the lads in the store are sound as well. And if you're more of an online shopper, that's no problem.
Whack in the code GET10 on roystyle.ie and take 10% off whatever you're buying. Free savings. What's not to love?
I'm telling you, don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of the mattresses, in which case, fair play.
Roy Price, Roy Style, right now. Visit www.roystyle.ie and use promo code GET10 for 10% off.
Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in the door. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Cut down.